You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Brought to you by AbbVie.
3:03 on the Gym Class for a Tuesday here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. 1600 AM all over Eastern Iowa, as well as the Gym OT 107.5 FM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids and in Iowa City in Coralville, and Johnson County in the surrounding areas, it is 106.3 FM. You can also follow us as well, not only on your terrestrial radio station, but also at KGYMradio.com, those of you with the KGYM radio app, and those of you out there with your skills, you can also program those to listen to KGYM, and we really do appreciate it. Scott Unash with you in studio, Mark Dukes from his, I don't think he's on the back porch today, we'll find out more about that. And Taylor on the other side of the glass today, helping us out. We do appreciate everybody here in the building, as few as they are, and especially appreciate you out there listening in here on KGYM. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott.
It's not pleasant outside.
Not at all. We're talking wind chills in the middle of April, and that's not a pleasant thought or a feel. But you know what? I have a heater on the back porch, so I'm good.
Really?
Sure.
A heater. Nice. Very well done. Very well done. But, well, we got a lot to cover here on the program today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. And we are presented by Hennings Financial. That's the first thing we need to cover here today. And big thanks to everyone at Hennings Financial Incorporated, your retirement rollover specialists, for helping out, us out here at the Gym Class and at KGYM. You can find out more about them by going to our website, KGYMradio.com, and click on your current life stage to learn more about what they can offer for you. They are a Cedar Rapids-based financial services firm focused on your retirement journey, and their specialty is helping pre-retirees and the newly retired manage their assets to produce a sustainable income. Again, go to KGYMradio.com for more information. And again, thanks to everybody at Hennings Financial for helping out. They are the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. We're going to talk to Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, as well as the Big Ten Network, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. We're going to talk about the influx of Big Ten players putting their name into the NBA draft waters. And we're going to talk about Luka Garza. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about everybody under the sun, if you will, in the Big Ten. Their prospects about staying in the draft, or their prospects about coming back. Will the draft process be different this year with the draft in July or maybe even August, or who knows when it's going to be? A lot of questions to be answered as far as folks looking to go to the next level.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun conversation. You got a lot of Big Ten big men testing waters like Garza. Everyone from Jalen Smith to Turu and Caleb Weston, Xavier Tillman right on down the line. And you know, Michigan's going to look quite a bit different as well with Isaiah Livers entering the draft. I don't know if he'll stay in. And then David DeJulius announcing he's going to enter the transfer portal. And Scott, one of the teams in his Final Four is?
The Iowa State Cyclones. How about that? That announced by David DeJulius earlier on today. His Final Four, if I can find it here very quickly, as I... You got it? Go ahead.
Yeah, Iowa State, Missouri, Cincinnati, and Marquette.
Interesting. It's an interesting group, for sure, that he has it down
sure
to.
Yeah, not sure exactly who he considered originally before going to Michigan, but not surprising that Iowa State's going to be very active in the transfer portal this year.
Yeah, and Iowa State's got some scholarships to throw out there. Speaking of Iowa State and former Cyclones, yesterday Zion Griffin made the announcement that he is going to play the rest of his basketball career for Illinois-Chicago. Today, Terrence Lewis, formerly of Iowa State, said he is going to play for the Jaguars of South Alabama. So that is where he will make his presence known here in the next couple of years. 319-366-1600. That is our text line available to you out there. Again, that is 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well as we come your way here on a Tuesday edition of the program. Some recruiting news to let you know about on the college football front today. Iowa football picking up a verbal commitment from a corner out of Tampa Gaithier High School in Tampa, Florida. I'm not 100% sure as far as the pronunciation of this young man's last name. It is Jordan Oladuku, a 5'11", 180-pound, three-star out of Tampa, Florida. And he verbally committed to play for Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa Hawkeyes earlier on today.
That's class of 2021, right? Yeah.
Correct. And had some pretty good suitors out there. Now, you got to be careful on how you say this because, you know, if what's the difference between getting a offertory letter or just a hello letter out there? But among them, Virginia Tech was in there. I know Penn State was in there, among others, going after Oladuku. So three-star athlete and good get, I guess, for the Hawkeyes. We'll see. You never know.
No, you don't. But Florida has been pretty kind, I think, to Iowa football. There's plenty of talent down in that part of the country, and Iowa taking advantage of it with this commit.
Yeah, very much so. 319-366-1600, the text line, if you would like to weigh in here today. We're going to talk to Mike DeCourcy in about 12 minutes or so. Some news and notes today to let you know about. First of all, again, we've been talking about this way too much. Notable deaths in the sports realm out there. Hank Steinbrenner, the son of George Steinbrenner, one of the top folks as far as the New York Yankees is concerned, he passes away today rather suddenly. I don't believe I saw a reason for his passing. Sudden illness is what I saw, but the Yankees grieving certainly today. Major League Baseball certainly grieving today. And then also Jim Frey, more known as a manager, obviously, managed the Kansas City Royals to very good success in the late 70s. And, of course, was also the manager of the 84 Chicago Cubs that got within tantalizingly close to the World Series for Cub fans back in 1984 behind Rick Sutcliffe and his, 83-1 record that he had after he came over to the Cubs that year. He passes away today.
Yeah, Jim Frey was, I would characterize him as a solid manager. He was 40, 50 games over 500 in his career. Not a long career. He was a guy that never played in the major leagues. He was a high school teammate of Don Zimmer's. And Zim obviously had a nice career in baseball as well. But I probably remember Frey more with the Royals. That 1980 team went to the World Series. I believe the Royals got beat by Philadelphia.
True.
That year, just a great collection of talent on that team. And then, yeah, you mentioned the 84 Cubs. And if I recall, he got a lot of blame for the Cubs not winning that NLCS because Chicago was up 2-0 going to San Diego and then dropped three in a row.
He can't field and for Leon Durham.
No, that's I know that's a painful year if you follow the Cubs for any length of time. But Frey was not flashy, but he was pretty solid baseball guy.
Yeah, and a good manager out there, and definitely will be missed out there along with Hank Steinbrenner. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in on the text line here today, the KGYM text line. Do have news out there as well. Kyle Larson fired today by Chip Ganassi Racing. And Kyle Larson, if you recall the story over the weekend, one of the 800 or so iRacing events that are now on television seemingly every night, which you knew I let everybody know 4 weeks ago was going to happen. We will be inundated with this, and we are inundated with it. And it has gone completely sideways and backwards. I'm not saying because of this particular incident, because Kyle Larson should not have done what he did. And that, of course, with the racial slur that he used over the radio in a race, I think that was on Sunday. But people losing rides and losing sponsors. This started off, Mark, as it was supposed to be fun. It was supposed to be fun. And now it's gone completely sideways.
Whether it was in a NASCAR event or iRacing, you can't do that. You can't say that word. And he got caught. So therefore, of course, he's sorry. And originally it was suspension. Now it's a firing. And one slip of the tongue, ends a guy's career, probably, doesn't it?
I got to think so. I'm not sure who's going to be able in any medium as far as racing is concerned. And you got to realize Kyle Larson is probably one of the top three rated across the board young racers in America, certainly. Top 10 in the world. I mean, this guy came up in the open wheel ranks, came up in the USAC ranks. Wing sprints he drives. He drives midget cars. He drives sprint cars. He has in the past said he'd like to drive Indy cars. Of course, now has been driving for Chip Ganassi the last several seasons, has driven in the truck series. If it has four wheels, Kyle Larson will drive it. And was one of the more popular people out there, especially when he won the Chili Bowl back in Tulsa over in January. And now the guy's probably done with his career.
Yeah, he was definitely an up-and-comer and a popular guy. And I just think to myself, if this is the only mistake Kyle has made in his life, number one, does he truly feel like that in terms of using that word? Does he use that in regular day life? I don't know. But what can he possibly do to resurrect his career after saying what he did?
Now, he came out yesterday on social networking platforms and made a video apology. The problem is this, as you know, and especially as we're going to find out within the next several months, and that is sponsorships are gold, Mark. And there is no sport that has more riding on it with sponsorships than with racing. And with Kyle Larson, if you lose your sponsors, you're basically out the door. And most every one of the sponsors, I think Credit One Bank was the first one to jump off of Kyle Larson. They were going to stay with Chip Ganassi Racing in another on another car. Whether that be an Indy car or whether that be whatever the case may be, they were not going to be on Kyle Larson's car. There were a couple of sponsors on, I think on his wing sprints that said they were going to stay, but came out very much against what Kyle Larson had said. But if you don't have sponsorship in NASCAR, especially, or in any form of racing, in 2020, you're not going to make it. You're going to be on the sideline because you're going to find somebody who can bring sponsorship to you.
Well, there's no doubt about it. What you say about NASCAR, it's plastered all over the cars. Sponsors plastered all over the suits that they wear. It's going to be tough enough to regain sponsorships after the COVID-19 episode that we're going through right now. And then pile this on top of Kyle Larson and Chip Ganassi Racing. It's a certainly a game changer in that regard. And I think sponsors will come back to Ganassi Racing. But, should Larson get another ride, who's going to want to hook up with them?
Very much so. You have a thought, 319-366-1600. Again, 319-366-1600. With Kyle Larson, he is out of a job at Chip Ganassi racing, and we'll see how that plays out for him over the next couple of years. We're going to talk about this more after we talk with Mike DeCourcy here, Mark, but interesting coming out today as far as a column, or it will be reported on Yahoo Sports. Pete Thamel is the national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. And he is going to have coming up here in the next couple of hours on Yahoo Sports. He is going to have a story about a letter from the Group of Five commissioners. Now, the Group of Five, that's your Mountain West, your Sun Belts, your people like that out there. They have sent a letter to the NCAA President Mark Emmert asking for, quote, temporary relief from several regulatory NCAA requirements for a period of up to 4 years, unquote. Among them are sports sponsorships minimums, which hints at more sports cuts. The reason behind this, and we're seeing the first example of it today, Mark, and that is University of Cincinnati announcing earlier today that their men's soccer program is going to be dropped due to lack of funds. And more Power Five commissioners are worried that this is going to become almost a daily announcement of colleges dropping certain programs. Then you have other people that are now chiming in saying, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Because of Title IX, you cannot drop women's sports. It's not going to matter if it's women's sports or men's sports. We're going to see if this thing continues, especially into the fall. We are going to see more and more universities have to make some very, very unpopular decisions, and they are already starting to happen.
Well, it's a very ticklish situation, and commissioners and athletic directors and are really going to have to pay attention to what's going on, and already crafting budgets for 2021. We heard from Gary Barta the other day about probably going to be cuts in the 2021 Iowa athletic budget. And I assume the soccer situation at Cincinnati is related to the virus and its impact. But you think to yourself, which sport or sports at your favorite school, whether it be Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, what would be the first sport to be cut? And I think we'll get into that a little bit later after Mike DeCourcy's appearance.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that, Wake Forest announcing today that football coach Dave Clawson, as well as the athletic director at Wake Forest and all of the head coaches for the Demon Deacons, have agreed to take a 10% salary cut for the next fiscal year. So that's also starting to be kind of more of a commonplace situation. All kind of started with what Jamie Pollard and Iowa State accomplished about a week ago.
Yeah, and I think Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred is going to take a pay cut as well. I didn't read how much, but probably what Pollard did is, as we suspected at the time, a tip of the iceberg in terms of what's going to happen in college and pro sports should this virus go on for any length of time.
Going to talk more about that, but we're going to talk to Mike DeCourcy coming up next. Plenty to discuss as far as Big Ten players, especially big men, going into the NBA draft. And we're going to do that when we come back. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, and we'll have more for you. Presented by Hennings Financial, coming your way right here on KGYM.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency is closed to the public right now because of the COVID-19 public health crisis. But rest assured, Linn County, that essential services are working. Garbage collected curbside is being landfilled, and so is garbage from current commercial account holders. So keep using your curbside services, residents, and learn about your garbage options at solidwasteagency.org. That's solidwasteagency.org. Social distancing will keep you and the Solid Waste Agency staff safe. And please, stay home if you can.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Iowa law prohibits price gouging. It is illegal to charge excessive prices for goods and services needed by disaster victims. This applies to items sold in stores, on social media, or online. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller will pursue price gouging complaints, and businesses or individuals found in violation could face penalties of up to $40,000. Report price gouging at iowaattorneygeneral.gov or 888-777-4590. Furnished by the Iowa Broadcasters Association.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Imagine sports without music. The sound of a halftime show, or firing up a crowd in the bottom of the ninth. Charge. And what about the team powering out to be introduced on the court? Sports without music is like pancakes without syrup, or bacon without more bacon. It's just wrong. So get your sports here on KGYM, and get all the smart rock you can handle on Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 in Iowa City, and on your favorite smart speaker.
To everyone stepping up when it matters most, University of Iowa Healthcare thanks you. From healthcare workers and researchers, to those staying safe at home, to community heroes supporting us, together we are all making a difference. Learn more at UIHC.org.
Back with you on the Gym Class 324, make it 325 here on a Tuesday edition of the program on a winter feeling day here in eastern Iowa. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you. And going to talk to Mike DeCourcy now from the Sporting News, college basketball columnist. Also, of course, does great work with the Big Ten Network as a studio analyst, I should say. And, of course, we wish we had hoops to talk about as far as on court. But we do have plenty to discuss as far as college basketball is concerned. First of all, Mike, hopefully everything is A-OK with you and yours. How you doing on this Tuesday?
Yes, all good here, all healthy, no problems, other than the huge void in my life, as and many others, with no live sports. It certainly is something that I never imagined I would encounter in my life. I mean, I've been bouncing from baseball to football to basketball to hockey season, and fell in love with soccer later on, and so there's always been something. And right now, just watching old game tapes and sports docs and stuff like that.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, let's start things off with, are you as infuriated as most fans around here that Luka Garza did not win more than one Player of the Year award?
Well, he won the one that matters, so I think he's fine. I mean, he was selected by Sporting News, and so what else would really? I don't know why anybody would even bother to check anybody else.
Well put.
I don't think there's great logic to Luka not winning the awards. Look, Obi Toppin is terrific. He had a great year, but you're doing what Luka did against the competition that he did. And it's not just that there was a league that was going to put 10 teams or whatever into the NCAA tournament. It was also a league that was going to do that by going through the center position. The number of quality big men in that league's unprecedented. I mean, unprecedented. Eddie Pinkney and Patrick Ewing were in the Big East and Bill Wennington in 1985. And I'm not going to sit here and say that there was a Patrick Ewing in the league, but there wasn't a great big man on every single team in the Big East that year. There were great big guys on maybe half or slightly better than half of the teams in the league that year. But how deep do you have to go into this Big Ten to find somebody at that position who wasn't really good, really special in a lot of cases. And for Luka to go and put 20 points plus in 16 consecutive games against that competition and be part of a very successful team, not an elite team. You know, no one's going to say that the Hawkeyes were elite, but they were top 25. I mean, we're not talking about a team that was, you know, that was hanging on hoping to get in the first four. I mean, they were a top 25, a legit solid top 25 team. I don't really understand how he did not win more of those awards. But I will say, I was being kind of jokey about the importance of the Sporting News Award, but a lot of the people that I respected the most that cover the college game the most closely were also aligned with Luka. And I think they saw the same thing that I did.
Mike, we know now that Luka Garza is going to test the NBA draft waters, and that shouldn't be surprising to anyone. It's a wise thing to do. Can you break down, you know, college basketball and NBA, we all know, kind of two different games. And what you do in college doesn't always translate to the National Basketball Association. Can you break down the good and the bad or not so good with Luka Garza?
Well, there isn't anything bad about him. He is the person that he is, and he is not as tall as he needs to be for the lack of explosion that he carries in terms of vertical, the ability to play above the rim, that sort of thing. To be able to be as tall as he is, he would need to be able to jump much higher. To be able to jump jump as high as he does, he would need to be much taller. So it's one of those two things, and I think that's that and the devaluation in the current NBA of the center position generally is problematic for him. But I still think he's going to make a living in the league for a long time. I don't think that he's valued as a draft prospect in the current climate, but they're going to get him in there and they're going to see he can score with both hands, but he can go to either shoulder. He can shoot from the perimeter. You can't physically outwork him. And so he's going to make a living in the league. I just don't know that he's going to ever be a star. And, you know, you talked about him entering the draft process. And if this were a normal year, I'd be like, go get every workout you can get. And if you can get to Chicago for the combine, great. But there's not going to be anything for him to do. So it doesn't hurt for him to put his name on that list, but it's not really going to do anything for him either. I mean, anything that he can get in terms of evaluation feedback, he could get without putting his name on the list as well. The reality is that unless the NCAA changes its deadline relative to withdrawal and return to NCAA basketball, and I don't think they will because there's enough uncertainty with most rosters now as it is, I don't think they'll change that deadline. And so I don't know that he's going to get much of anything out of being on that list other than the chance to say, hey, I think I'm going to try this. And then when he comes back, everybody says, oh, wow, we get to have him back. I mean, he's worth that. He's worth we get to have him back. But he could get that, too. I mean, Villanova put out a release today about Jeremiah Robinson Earl, their freshman center. And said he's coming back. He never put his name on the list. So he could even get the appreciation if he just had said last week, hey, you know, with the process messed up the way it is, I'm coming back. And I wish I could got a real evaluation, but I can't. So I'm going to be back. And people in Iowa would have been doing somersaults.
True. Mike Luka basically all but said, unless he is a first-round draft choice, unless there is a team out there that absolutely falls head over heels for him, he will be back. Personally, I think that's probably the best move for him, especially this year with all the unknowns that you went over. And I expect Luka to be back 98.6% next year in Iowa City. What do you say?
Yeah, I think that's right. Maybe I might even go a higher percentage. I'll be shocked if he isn't back. And I think that coming back, there are so many things that he can accomplish. And he's not going to get any shorter, And maybe he can add another inch or two to his vertical. We'll see. I mean, I don't know, but we'll see. It's possible. I don't know that that's a game changer for him. But there's so much that he can accomplish. He can come back and remember a lot of the guys that, you know, not everybody, but a lot of the guys that were in his way this year in the league, Caleb Wesson. You look at Daniel Oturu. Those guys are both gone. Michigan, new center there. So there'll be there'll still be some very excellent big guys in the league, but not as many, I suspect, as were bothersome to him this year. Not that bothersome, but he certainly had to work really hard to get done what he did.
Mike, it looks like maybe a half a dozen Big Ten players will be taken in the first round of the draft, if you believe the mocks, and Jalen Smith and Xavier Tillman, two of the better big men in the league. But you also have guys like, you mentioned Oturu and Coburn, Caleb Wesson. Who may be back among that group?
I think Coburn will come back.
I do,
because
too.
Because, again, yeah, the center position being undervalued. And he's not there. I mean, Luka is great. I mean, and he'll be maybe greater a year from now, but he's already great. He just isn't the perfect NBA package. There may be elements of Kofi physically that are really attractive to the NBA, but his game's not nearly ready. And maybe a guy who was wildly skilled or wildly athletically skilled as he is, that was a wing player, maybe he'd be more valued. But again, when you're a center, you have to have a lot covered that he doesn't have covered. So I think he'll return, and I think he'll have a great year. And so, but I don't think you'll see. I mean, I was on a conference call with Chris Holtman today, and he talked about Caleb Wesson as he would have talked about a senior, not expecting anything back at all. So, I mean, maybe Caleb shocks him, and it's happened once or twice in the last 20 years that a player has completely shocked everybody. But I don't think that's what's going to happen at Ohio State. And you know, Oturu is definitely in the draft and will be a first round pick, but you won't see him back. So there'll be, like I said, there'll still be some very good big players in the league, and Luka will still have to fight really hard every night to be successful. But I haven't seen many players. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 40 years. I haven't seen many players who work harder than Luka. I mean, I put him in the class of the absolute, you know, demons, and in terms of being in the gym. And you know, I'd be curious, you know, what he's up to now, given, you know, everybody's present circumstance, how he is handling this period in terms of what he's doing to try to prepare for next year wherever he happens to play it.
The Big Ten was absolutely fantastic this year, as you pointed out at the beginning of our talk here. And there'll be a lot of differences next year. Not only guys going to the NBA, but also you've got, of course, the transfer portal, since that seems to be the thing in 2020. Matt Harms was the guy that kind of made me scratch my head a little bit. Was that a surprise to you?
It was a little surprise, but to be honest, I mean, I was surprised, but not, you know, but not super surprised, because he was losing some of his grip on the position to Travion Williams at Purdue. I was much more surprised by Luther Muhammad and David DeJulius. Luther Muhammad from Ohio State and David DeJulius from Michigan. I mean, Luther started almost every game. When he didn't start, it was mostly because he was hurt. He started almost every game and averaged, I think, 9.5 points or something like that. They were losing a lot of shots from their offense. You'd think that there would be an opportunity for him to do more, and he still left. I'm mystified. David DeJulius, they are losing, massive amounts of talent from their. I mean, there were all kinds of shots sitting there, and David likes to shoot the ball. I would have thought that he would have been able to come back and easily get double-figured shots up, and he left. I don't know what that was about at all. I still haven't heard any definitive reason why he would depart. So some of the decisions that are made now in the transfer portal, I don't have a problem with guys leaving if they're not playing, or maybe they're not playing as much as they want. But I don't understand why guys who are starters playing 26, 27 minutes a game, or guys who have huge vacancies open up for them after a year or two in the program, why they would not stay where they are. I think what's being undervalued by the prospects and maybe the people around them is how much easier the game is if you understand what your coaches want from you, what your system is, how the game flows in your place. You go somewhere else, and it's not easy. Unless you're just an extraordinary talent, it's not easy to get on the bus that's already moving. You have to master a lot of different techniques and expectations and the rhythm of what your coaches want. And I think everybody thinks it's just going to be easy when you do that.
Mike, should Garza return and Jordan Bohannon return to form, what kind of expectations would you put on next year's Iowa team?
Well, they're going to be I expect him to be back, and I would expect Jordan to be back as well. And I would put them as a preseason top 5 or 6 team. And what they have to do to become that, or better than that even, is they have to become better defensively. They did improve, certainly, from a year ago to this past season on the defensive end. They were capable. They still weren't good or excellent, but they were capable at the defensive end. They had good moments. If they can take that from capable or good to very good with the offense that they're going to put out there, they can be really difficult to deal with. I mean, think about Jordan on the floor with C.J. Frederick and Joe Wieskamp. I mean, think about what the perimeter shooting that you're putting around Luka, and how you're daring every single team you play. Which guy you want to double up? Go ahead, give it a try. And if you don't, then you're dealing with maybe the most skilled low post scorer we've seen in college basketball in a decade, one on one. So that the chance for them to be really extraordinary at the offensive end is right there.
Last run from me, Mike, as we talk with Mike DeCourcy from the Big Ten Network and the Sporting News at 3:40 here on KGYM on this Tuesday. You mentioned the fact that the draft process is going to be a little bit different this year. Do you think with that in mind, we may see more underclassmen coming back to college basketball next year? And, just because of the fact that you're going to see a lot of the rosters already full overseas, there's just a lot of things up in the air right now. If I'm a college player with that decision, I think it's an easy one to come back, unless you're just a bona fide first-round draft choice.
Yeah, it's interesting because with the G League being shut down, and the G League will not come back this season, whereas the NBA is going to try, they're certainly trying now to figure out a way to finish the season in some form. The G League will not be back. There won't be a summer league for you to try to make an impact. So if you're an undrafted player, trying to make an impact with no summer league, I think that's a really risky deal. I mean, a lot of guys who've gotten the two-way contracts, and the two-way contract is a very overrated deal in terms of the way to go in, but it's right now it's caught the attention of a lot of players, and agents are pushing that hard. But even that is going to be more difficult to secure in an environment where you're almost certainly not going to have the summer league to show teams what you can do. The flip side of that is that this is one of the worst drafts ever. I mean, I don't know that we'll ever see a worse one. I certainly hope we don't. And so some players will say, the guys in this draft are so not good that I can't do, I can't do any worse than get into this draft. Next year, it's got to be better, and it probably will be. So if I stay, maybe it's a little more crowded. So they have to make a decision about those two elements. The guys who can really play, I think that like Luka and player like I thought Emmanuel Quickley should have gone back to Kentucky. I think he's making a mistake. The guys who can really play, I think they should stay. But the guys who are just okay players and not great workers and not really all that interested in trying to get good, you know, I'm not sure, you know, they might be the ones that try to pull off a, you know, a fake job and get picked in a draft that's pretty thin.
Can college basketball, if college football moves, just to play devil's advocate, if college football moves to a start in February, what in the world would that do to college basketball next year?
I don't know. I'm still at the point where I don't know what the college football authorities, so to speak, are going to want to do. Are they better off playing in empty or less crowded stadiums in the fall, but being in their television window, or are they better off, you know, maybe trying to get back into, you know, heavy crowds in the springtime or late winter, early spring, but jammed up in a television window they don't necessarily belong, and I don't know, you know, what the contract stipulations would be then. So I don't know. But the one thing I keep coming back to in that debate is, you know, I don't see why you would have students on campus. I mean, you know, 40,000 in a lot of these bigger universities, even 60 at Central Florida, you know, concentrated in a reasonably small area, not a tiny area, postage stamp, but, you know, not exactly, you know, the entire state of Wyoming either. Hmm. And you're putting them in the dining halls and classrooms and all those sorts of things. So I'm not sure the logic in if we could do that, and I sure hope we can, because I think that a lot of our American economy depends on that. If we can do that, then I don't see really much logic in why you couldn't play football as well. I don't really understand why that wouldn't be the case. So we'll see, you know, what happens. I think all the universities, all the big universities, are going to probably have to make a decision by toward the end of spring, if not, you know, early summer, on whether they're going to reopen their campuses in the fall. I got an email from my alma mater this morning where they've already decided to take their second summer term online, but the president of the university said that they were going to reopen in September. Now, I don't know whether that was optimism or a definitive plan. And Point Park University only has about 5,000 students. It doesn't have 50. So I don't know what that meant, but that's kind of all the information I have right now.
Well, one thing is for certain, Mike, nobody knows what the landscape is going to be like in 4 months and 5 months and beyond. I think a lot of us hope it's better, but you can look at all the models and listen to anyone you want, but the bottom line is no one really knows, and I think for my part, I think it's healthy to be optimistic, huh?
I think it is. You know, there's so much, if you look at Twitter in particular, there's so much negativity and presented as realism. You know, push all sports into 2021, and, you know, if you're doing that, I mean, we got a lot bigger problems than whether the balls are bouncing. There's no reason to push sports into 2021 if we're able to open up malls and restaurants and this and that and the other thing. Well, then why can't they play basketball or hockey? I don't understand the negativity that a lot of people in my profession are exhibiting. I'm very much a realist in terms of, we can't go out, at, you know, today, but I'm also aware enough that I don't know what's coming, and aware enough that, think about it. Dr. Fauci went in front of one. I can't remember whether it was Senator of the House on the Tuesday of conference tournament week, and was starting to talk that day about whether or not the NBA should be playing in empty gyms. And by the end of the next day, the NBA wasn't playing anywhere. And that's how fast things change. So if things change badly that fast, maybe we get lucky and things can change for the better.
There you go. Hey, Mike, stay safe. Appreciate the time. Some great insight. And hopefully we'll have games to talk about sooner than later. But thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
You too, guys. A real pleasure. And your listeners can check me out on Twitter at TSN Mike if they aren't already.
All right. We encourage them to follow you out there. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Much.
Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, TSN Mike, and also from the Big Ten Network. We'll take a break, come back, have more for you. We are presented by Hennings Financial here in the Gym Class. Back with more after this on KGYM.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
It's fine if you don't feel fine right now. You're allowed to feel worried or afraid. But if your worry or fear has taken you to a dark place you can't see yourself climbing out of, it's time to talk. There are people available right now at Foundation 2. They're great listeners. Just call 319-362-2174. Or if you'd rather text, no problem, go to yourlifeiowa.org and start a conversation. At KGYM, we care about you now and always.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. We offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. We'll even bring it out curbside. Or you can have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you're a pro, Lowe's knows your job hasn't stopped. We're here to help with the supplies you need to make repairs and keep people's homes running smoothly at this important time. From our convenient curbside loading to job site delivery to savings on the products you need most, our focus is to help keep your business moving forward. Lowe's is open, and we're pro ready.
In business today, being ready is more challenging than ever. As you work to keep your doors open and employees and customers protected, Cintas is here to help. Our trucks can deliver essential supplies like soap, microfiber towels, disposable gloves, paper towels, toilet tissue, and safety glasses. We can even sanitize your restrooms. We'll serve you with the speed and dedication you need. Learn how Cintas can help your business stay ready at Cintas.com.
At AutoZone, we've always been there to help get you what you need when you need it. And that hasn't changed. That's why we want to let you know AutoZone stores are still open. Whether it's a quality part or a free battery test to help you stay on the road, we've got what you need. And if you do happen to need anything fast, we've got free store pickup inside the store or curbside, your choice, as well as next day delivery. Our stores are open and we're ready to help make the job easier. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
3:50 back with you on the Gym Class, presented by Hennings Financial here on KGYM. Coming up next, it'll be the Tom Bromel Camp Show, taking you from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock this evening. And hope everybody enjoyed classic NFL football last night. Can you call it classic if it was just, 3 months ago? 2 months ago? I thought it was classic myself, but I'm biased.
Of course you did.
Chiefs and the 49ers last night. Coming up on Thursday night, more football coming your way, and it will be another Super Bowl. The Giants and the Patriots Super Bowl. That'll be on Thursday night on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk with Kia Stokes, the former Linmar Lion and UConn Husky, who's had a terrific career as far as women's professional basketball overseas and with the WNBA. Of course, the WNBA not playing right now due to the coronavirus, and Kia with some more time on her hands. So we're going to talk with Kia. And boy, I thought about this last night, Mark, and you can make a pretty good case for Kia Stokes, maybe the best girls basketball player to ever come out of the Metro.
I don't think there's any question about that. There's been several, there's no doubt about it. The Freeze family in and of itself Stacy and Brenda, and they were all terrific as a family, but I don't think anybody has achieved more in their, you know, especially college and professional career than Kia did. And it seems like yesterday I was watching her at the USL Center, and what was it, a sub-state final or something like that. Time has gone quickly. She had a terrific career at Connecticut. Didn't start much, as I recall, if at all. But she, I think she's that number one or first round draft pick.
Yeah, did a great, great job.
Saying something after not starting much at the college level.
So we'll talk with Kia coming up tomorrow. Dan Shonk on Thursday to talk NFL draft, because we are a week away from the NFL draft. Week and 2 days away from that first pick being Joe Burrow hearing his name called. And where will Tristan Wirfs go? Will A.J. Epenesa remain in the first round? We will talk about that with Dan coming up on Thursday, and then we'll have a topic for you coming up on Friday. 319-366-1600, that is the text line. Thank you to Sam for weighing in. Great talk with Mike, and it was a great talk with Mike DeCourcy of the Big Ten Network and the Sporting News. We'll have that up for you in case you missed it on Twitter, or not on Twitter, on our website at kgymradio.com. We will do that for you after the program here today. We mentioned earlier, Mark, that we had the first pretty significant university make a pretty significant cut today. The men's soccer program at the University of Cincinnati was cut today. And Pete Thamel, I believe it's Thamel, whatever, who does a great job with Yahoo Sports, going to put up something a little bit later on, as they got a hold of a letter going from the Power 5 ADs to Mark Emmert of the NCAA on how they can survive in this new normal, if you will. And the NCAA has made some adjustments to sports and athletics in the past, especially after Hurricane Katrina. And that's what they are kind of banking on again for some of those Power 5 schools that don't have the athletic budgets of, say, Big 10, Big 12, ACC schools and things like that.
Yeah, if you're unaware, the Group of Five consists of the AAC, Conference USA, Mid-American Conference, Mountain West, and Sun Belt. And I'm interested to read this article, and perhaps we'll revisit it tomorrow because I know time's short, and nobody knows, obviously, what's going to happen down the road. But athletic directors and commissioners are going to have to make some very difficult decisions. And if it comes down to cutting sports, which sport is most likely to be trimmed at your school? I think every university is different. In my mind, it comes down to, you know, most sports don't operate in the black. So you're going to have to look at those programs that, you know, cost a whole lot of money to compete. So, again, we'll probably revisit this tomorrow, I would think.
Yeah, after the article comes out. Certainly, and looking forward to reading that coming up a little bit later on. Other athletic departments are making some cuts as well. Wake Forest announcing today, if you missed it, that all their head coaches, including the athletic director, are going to take a 10% salary cut across the board for the upcoming fiscal year. We know what's going on in Ames with Jamie Pollard. Gary Barta, of course, for the University of Iowa, said last week that they are going to wait until June 30th to see how things sort of play out here before anything is announced or any cuts are made as far as the University of Iowa is concerned. But this, needless to say, not only for you and me and everybody out there listening, as for big businesses and big universities, this is tenuous times.
No question about it. And I guess my thought and message would be stay tuned.
Yeah, we have no crystal ball, certainly, for that. No crystal ball indeed. Again, we will have that conversation with Mike DeCourcy up for you coming up in a little bit, as far as our website is concerned. And we do appreciate everybody tuning into the program here today. Kia Stokes will join us coming up tomorrow. We'll talk more about that Yahoo Sports article as well, and piece coming up tomorrow on the program. Mark, you have a very good night. Remember to turn the heater off.
You as well, and I will do. Look forward to tomorrow's show.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Todd's next here on KGYM. Have a good night, everybody.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Here's a message from our sponsor. Here's a message from our